Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day.
Welcome to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. My name is Walker Wildman, sitting in today for my father Tim Wildman and Ed Vitagliano. They've taken an early Thanksgiving, and so left to run the show today is myself and Fred Jackson. Fred, welcome to the studio.
Good to be here with you. Yeah, usually the people that are in the day before Thanksgiving are the folks who have run out of vacation time.
Yeah, you're right. And so today, and it seems like this is a recurring issue where every Thanksgiving and Christmas, Fred and I are left to host the day before and the day after holidays.
Okay. It just gives us an appetite for turkey.
It does. Yeah. Welcome, Chris, to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back.
Yeah, so I actually have 2 days left, and so it's hunting season, but I'm going to wait because it's 60 degrees outside. It's not really good hunting weather.
So okay, tell us why that's the case.
Well, the deer seem to move more when it's cold.
They're more hungry.
Yeah.
So they want to feed more.
Yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, and it's really not, I don't know, there's just something about not appealing about going hunting in the South when it's hot outside.
Yeah.
It's muggy, you're sweating, you got mosquitoes, so
yeah.
I like to go when it's cold.
And you prefer to be up in that stand?
Yeah, some of the best hunts that I've had is when it's cold, when it's like 20, 30 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my little theory on when's best to go hunting. Well, we got several different news stories today. We got some Chick-fil-A news. We got some news out of Washington, D.C., and we got some more light news that we'll lead into Thanksgiving on. But, Chris, lead us off.
Well, you mentioned Chick-fil-A there. We got a developing story on the Chick-fil-A situation that we've been reporting for many, many days now. Townhall.com has uncovered a tax form, which is available to anybody, showing that the Chick-fil-A Foundation contributed $2,500 in 2017 to the Anti-Christian Southern Poverty Law Center. Mm-hmm. This, of course, got the attention of our friends and acquaintances there at the Family Research Council, because it was in August of 2012 that a gunman named Floyd Corkins decided to enter the FRC headquarters in Washington, D.C., his idea or intent being to shoot as many people as possible. He based his reason on trying to shoot people at FRC based on information he got from the Southern Poverty Law Center, which has deemed FRC and other organizations as, air quotes, hate groups. Mm-hmm. And judging by his press release here, I can't read his tone, obviously. I'm just going by his words. But Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, is not happy about this. He says tax reports have now exposed Chick-fil-A for funding the Anti-Christian Southern Poverty Law Center. And Tony is of the opinion that based on all this and everything that we've talked about for days now, Tony says, and I quote, "It is time for Christians to find a fast food alternative to Chick-fil-A."
Yeah. You know, this seems orchestrated on our side amongst conservatives, but I'll just go ahead and tell you it's not. This is all organic, meaning Chick-fil-A messed up last week when they announced that they were shifting donations away from the Salvation Army and away from Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and they were instead going to give it to the Covenant House and a few other groups, some of which have unbiblical policies and statements within their documents, within their founding documents and within their policies. And so that really kicked this off. And then since then, groups like us, American Family Radio and One News Now and FRC and now Town Hall and Mike Huckabee and Todd Starnes, we've all been kind of doing a little digging on what's really going on here. And in the midst of all of that, this was discovered, and that is that the Chick-fil-A back in 2017 gave to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which they're known, they're widely discredited. The media doesn't cite them as much as they used to, but they still have a lot of money, a lot of influence amongst politics, because they label groups like AFA, FRC, and others hate groups because of our biblical beliefs.
Yeah,
but Fred, does this really puts a nail in the coffin when it comes to wondering where Chick-fil-A stands on this stuff?
Well, I think most of our listeners are familiar with the Southern Poverty Law Center, and what they one of the things they produce is a map, and they decide who is a hate group. Now, how do they decide that? Well, if you speak out against homosexuality, if you're in favor of only biblical marriage, they've decided they have the right to label you as a hate group, and they have a map. And Floyd Corkins, the shooter in the case 7 years ago at FRC, had looked at that map, and he saw that FRC was a hate group. So he goes down to the FRC headquarters in Washington, D.C., with a bag full, are you ready for this, of Chick-fil-A sandwiches.
Yep.
And he tries to get inside. Fortunately, the guard there was able to stop him before he was able to go upstairs and deliver all these sandwiches and gunfire at employees. Tony Perkins today issuing a statement about this, and I just want to read some of it. As Chris has alluded to, I think if Tony Perkins was here, you'd hear the emotion. But he said, 7 years ago, a shooter entered our building with the intent to murder as many people as possible and smear a Chick-fil-A sandwich in their faces. The gunman was enraged by the nationwide Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day held 2 weeks before and used the SPLC's hate map to identify FRC as his target. So, and the bottom line with Tony Perkins' statement that he issued this morning, he says it's time for Christians to find a fast food alternative to Chick-fil-A. That's a strong statement.
Yeah, that's a very strong statement. And, you know, this, there are some, including Franklin Graham, who just got it all wrong. And that doesn't happen very often. I like Franklin Graham. I like his ministry. We're usually on the same side of issues 99.9% of the time. But on this issue, Franklin Graham spoke too soon without enough information and basically said that I'm summarizing Franklin Graham's Facebook post from last week, but he basically said, look, I talked to Dan Cathy. Nothing going on here. Chick-fil-A still supports Christian ministries. This is all really a bunch of a to-do about nothing. Well, as it turns out, that's not true. And we even had people calling in to hear at AFA, commenting on online, emailing in about, so what is it? Is Chick-fil-A caving or are they not, et cetera, et cetera. And I think this right here really seals the deal. There's really no more debate about where Chick-fil-A is. And the fact that Chick-fil-A moved this far away from Truett Cathy's beliefs, Truett Cathy's values, to now where they're funding groups like the Southern Poverty Law Center, and they won't even give money to the Salvation Army and the FCA, this is really shameful for Chick-fil-A, and I think it really makes it more personal and upsetting that we did boycotts.
Yes.
We evangelical Christians are responsible solely for Chick-fil-A's best sales day ever in their recorded history.
Yep.
Yeah, and you mentioned you know, Chick-fil-A's donations to Salvation Army and FCA. The story that kind of started all this, the exclusive in Biz Now, that's where they interviewed Tim Tosopoulos at Chick-fil-A about what it is they were doing going forward. That article pointed out that Chick-fil-A was donating to Salvation Army's Angel Tree program, I believe it's called, and they were donating money to FRC for some camps, FCA for some camps. So it's not like you were giving money to the organization overall. It was for specific things.
Yeah.
And who in the world would be against giving kids Christmas presents or funding a summer camp for like an underprivileged teen?
Right.
But that's where people are.
Yeah, that shouldn't be controversial. Yeah, well, this is what the left wants to do. They want to crowd out or push out conservative evangelical Christians and our groups like AFA, FRC, and others. And they want companies like Chick-fil-A and the rest of all the Fortune 500 companies to fund their agenda.
Yeah.
Because that's how these groups, if you look at these groups like HRC, like GLAAD and others, they're not, in large part, they're not making their money and operating off of small donations. They're getting Hollywood money. They're getting Washington, D.C. money. They're getting SPLC money. And groups like us, AFA and FRC, we're relying largely on grassroots donors. And so Chick-fil-A here is shifting away and starting to fund the left.
Here's what I don't understand. Strictly from a business point of view, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but I think Chick-fil-A, what, the third most successful, profitable fast food restaurant in the country is, does that sound right?
It's one of the most.
Yeah, it's sure. Right up there. extremely. I'm making billions of dollars worth of profit every year. Mm-hmm. They're doing extremely well with the business plan, with the donations that they were making.
Yeah.
What is it when the powers that be sit around a table and say, business is booming, we're successful, let's do something that jeopardizes that? Mm. I mean, that just doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
All I can, you know, in trying to figure this out, because Dan Cathy may have talked to Franklin Graham, but he hasn't made any public statements yet, as far as I know.
Right.
There's been nothing. So we don't know what happened around that table to make this decision. But here's one thing we know. Now they've thrown such a poison into the ointment, mm-hmm. that, and the question remains is how people are going to respond to all of this. The only thing I can think of is around that table when they made these decisions is that, gee whiz, I think we'd like to be in the San Antonio airport.
Yep.
And San Antonio doesn't like us because of something that was said many years ago. So let's compromise there. Remember Texas had a Chick-fil-A day?
Yes, an AFA, and One News Now covered it.
Yes, not too long ago.
Yep.
They want to open up 20 Chick-fil-A's in Toronto, Canada. Mm-hmm. And there was a big protest when they opened up the first one a few weeks ago. So did they reason, well, we'd like to open up 20 more, and we don't want any more protesters, so we'll start giving to all of these left-wing groups.
Yeah.
I still don't understand why people insist. I think we'll have a train wreck instead of continue on down the rails of success.
Yeah, no, this as far as logic, this makes absolutely no sense.
Nope.
Chick-fil-A is booming. They're growing and becoming one of the most successful fast food chains in the country, making billions, and we have to do something dumb like they're doing here. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense, and this is really, you can tie this to the movement that elected President Trump, because Americans, and specifically evangelicals, we're tired of these big companies and these politicians doing things absolutely counter to our values. Mm-hmm. And they don't even, like Walmart.
Yes.
You know, Walmart was built on the back of Americans with our values, with Christian values. Mm-hmm. But yet here they are, 2019, they forget where they came from, mm-hmm. who founded their company, mm-hmm. the values that he had, mm-hmm. and they start doing things to please man. Even though their founding values and their founding beliefs is what made them successful, they think getting another store in Canada, another store, this goes with Walmart, Chick-fil-A, and others, getting another store in Europe, getting the approval of the political left is where they want to go.
Well, and it brings me back to something I mentioned the last time I was on here filling in for Fred or Steve. I don't remember. But you know, the New Yorker, they had that hit piece on Chick-fil-A's creepy infiltration into New York City. That's how they worded it in their headline. I'm not embellishing. That story, which was meant to be negative on Chick-fil-A, pointed out that the A Manhattan location of Chick-fil-A sold a chicken sandwich every 6 seconds, which goes to show you that liberals are eating at Chick-fil-A. Yeah. So why do you need to cater to liberals to sell your chicken sandwiches?
You don't. Liberals like food, too. So they're going to eat there. What's the next story you got, Chris?
Well, President Trump is in the headlines for a number of things again today. The first, let's begin with this. The president was at a rally last night in his new home state of Florida. It was billed as a homecoming rally. And as one might expect, he talked with supporters there about the impeachment proceedings from the Democrats. Let's do clip one here.
The radical left Democrats are trying to rip our nation apart. First, it was the Russia hoax, total hoax. It was a failed overthrow attempt and the biggest fraud in the history of our country. And then you look, the Mueller deal, you remember that mess? They had nothing. 2 years, they spent $45 million, and now the same maniacs are pushing the deranged impeachment. Think of this. Impeachment. Impeachment. A witch hunt. The same as before. And they're pushing that impeachment witch hunt. And a lot of bad things are happening to them. Because you see what's happening in the polls?
Anything there stand out before we move on to another buffet of sound bites?
Well, President Trump is very popular in Florida, and this is not, like I said yesterday, this is not looking good for the Democrats.
Not at all.
In Florida, President Trump gets tens of thousands. People have to wait outside. People love him in Florida. You know, Fox and Friends does these breakfasts with friends at these different diners. And all across the country, you know, the diner's full of Trump supporters. You know, at 6, 7 a.m. in the morning, the diner's full of Trump supporters. And the, you know, the there's nothing really exciting going on with the Democrats. They're, I think it was Newt Gingrich who said the other day that that their platform is boring.
Yeah.
And it is. They're, they're talking about how bad America is, how bad America is, and how we need to tax everybody and redistribute wealth. That doesn't get me excited, and I don't think it really even gets independents excited.
No.
But President Trump still has his touch with his supporters.
No, there's no question. Let's deal with some facts here. This rally last night was held in Broward County, Florida. Hillary Clinton won Broward County twice as many votes than Trump got in 2016. There were 21,000 people inside this arena last night, 3,000 people standing outside. I read an Associated Press story this morning, did not mention those figures. The only figure that the Associated Press mentioned were the 200 protesters outside.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. But listen, folks, he is, I was watching the breakfast hits this morning at that restaurant down there in Florida. A cross-section of Americans. There were Hispanic people in that restaurant. There were African-Americans in that restaurant. And they all say they love Donald Trump. They love what he's doing. They love what he's doing for jobs and the economy. We have another story on One News Now this morning. And the headline on that story basically is more evidence that Dem impeachment effort not working. That story is out of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Up in Wisconsin, you have people who say they vote Democrat who say this impeachment process is a bore.
Yeah.
It's not doing anything for them. It is a total failure. This is, explains why Donald Trump has been saying in recent days, come on, I want a trial.
Yes, in the Senate.
I want a trial in the Senate. Come on, bring it on.
Now they're saying, the Democrats are saying, no, they don't want a trial in the Senate.
No, they're backing away from that real quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I do have some sound here. Let's do clip seven here, Clint, or Brent, I'll tell you when. But this is Tucker Carlson speaking last night on his Fox News Channel program. And Tucker is of the opinion that impeachment has made President Trump even stronger. Clip seven.
It turns out that parading bureaucrats before the cameras to demand that you send money to Ukraine, shut up, no questions allowed, isn't very effective as a campaign strategy. And as a result, support for impeachment has fallen even among core Democratic voters. Here's the latest example. An Emerson poll released last week found that among African-American voters, for example, just 37% now support impeachment. 38% are opposed, while 25% were uncertain, which itself is significant. Meanwhile, in the same poll, among white voters, 44% supported impeachment. That's not among white Democrats, it's among all white voters. So think about that for a second. That means African Americans, though they remain the most loyal Democratic constituency, tend to be more skeptical of impeachment.
That's a big chunk of voters.
Yes.
If the president, if this president in 2020 gets double-digit percentage of African-American voters, he wins re-election. And then you throw in all the other demographics at a time in which unemployment is at historic lows for virtually every demographic, including women, Asian-Americans, Hispanic-Americans, whatever hyphenated Americans you want to call it.
Right.
They have historically low unemployment rates. Jobs, we continue to add jobs. People are bringing home more money versus wage increases, or maybe they're getting less taxes taken out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot can happen between now and November of next year. But right now, things don't look as bad as the AP and other news outlets want you to believe for this president.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this is what the left doesn't understand. But what President Trump has done, and with the help of some Republicans, is he's unleashed the American economy to where everyone can play, everyone can compete, and everyone can succeed. The way this is happening is, you mentioned the wage increases, lowest unemployment, and we have more job openings than we've had in years. So much to such an extent that companies are having trouble hiring because they can't find anyone to put in a job application. That may not be good for the companies, but that's good for the workers. Mm-hmm. Why? Because that's increased competition amongst companies, which means what? It means they pay more.
Yeah.
Because they want to get the best worker. So this deregulation, this good economy, the good markets, it's good for 401ks, it's good for everyone. And this is the kind of policies that conservatives have been talking about for years. We don't really need more government to succeed. We need less government, more free market, so that people can compete.
You know, it's interesting. If you go back a number of years, 20 years plus, I guess it would be, I remember a guy by the name of James Carville, who was Bill Clinton's kind of advocate.
Raging Cajun.
Remember his line, it's the economy, stupid? The Democrats in this day and age have put all their eggs in one basket, and that is hoping to build hatred against Donald Trump, forgetting about the economy, forgetting about everything else, you know, the bread and butter issues of the American people. They've tossed all of that aside. Impeachment has been their agenda from the get-go, ever since this Donald Trump was elected. They roll the dice. They need to go back and listen to James Carville. It is the economy, stupid. The problem is the Democrats now can take no credit for this booming economy. They cannot take any credit. They have fought President Trump on border security. They fought him on that. Mm-hmm. They have refused to go along. They're refusing to sign a trade deal that both Canada and Mexico have signed. So here you have it. They're trying for impeachment. Even Democrats, even their constituency, the African Americans, Hispanic community, are all turning against them because they say, we don't care about this impeachment stuff.
Yeah.
And these people who are interviewed for the AP story out of Wisconsin saying, we've even some of these who have watched these hearings on TV saying, there's really nothing there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've got nothing.
Yeah.
They've invested in this hatred of Donald Trump. Invested in this impeachment exercise, and it's just going to fly in their face. They've got nothing to go to the American people with.
No,
you're
right.
Pardon me ending the sentence with a preposition.
Do we have time for one more clip, Brent? Yeah. Okay, let's do this because I think it'll tie up this segment with a nice bow here, which is the season for bows. We're going to do this is last night on Fox News Channel, Representative Dan Crenshaw of Texas. He called impeachment a political game. Clip three.
There's no evidence to be had here. We've had open impeachment hearings, and every single time there's some new bombshell in the headlines, well, what we actually see is that there's nobody with firsthand knowledge of what the president's policy was on this. It also seems a little suspicious that all of these people who are the implementers of policy towards Ukraine never had any official guidance to withhold aid for these investigations. They don't have any documentation to support that. They just had these presumptions. You know, they all spoke to each other in an echo chamber and then decided that this was the case, but they didn't really know. So how are we going to impeach on that? I mean, you could be suspicious based on that. But how are you going to impeach? It's a really radical leap.
Now, you know, we could sit here and talk about this for until the end of the year nonstop, but Democrats are not letting up. The House Judiciary Committee is now taking over the impeachment proceedings. They're going to begin early next month.
Well, there you have it. We'll be back with more news after the break. Myself, Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, Chris Woodard here on today's issues. Check out our website, AFR.net, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Hey, babe, I just finished up the Christmas list for the kids.
Cool. Just make sure you check out AFA's Naughty or Nice list to see what stores to avoid.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It's showing that Walgreens is naughty.
Let me see. I see Walmart is still good.
Oh, but Walmart is always crowded.
Just think about the kids, babe.
Just think about the kids, babe. You're no help.
find the AFA Naughty or Nice retailer list at afa.net.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. I am currently reading a book titled 1776 by David McCullough. I would highly recommend this book about our country's founding. It's been on my to-do list for 10 years, and I finally got around to it. But an excellent book it is, and a lot of it's about the life of George Washington. What an amazing story. Without George Washington, I doubt I would be talking to you today. That's how instrumental and important he was to our country's founding. He was a man used by God. We're going to be going to Mount Vernon, his home, on our Spiritual Heritage Tour in June and September. Our tours in June and September, Spiritual Heritage Tours to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon. And then we're going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown on a separate tour. For all the information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, that's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
For me, Truett means opportunities.
Truett means an adventure, a place where I can grow and become more like Jesus.
This is somewhere I belong.
To me, Truett is like a home far away from home.
Everyone is family from all different walks of life and from all over the world.
To me, Truett means a second home.
Truett McConnell University is home for me.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and now you know why I love Truett McConnell University. Anna Navarro, the CNN political commentator, launched an ugly attack on black supporters of President Trump, including my good friends Diamond and Silk. Ms. Navarro was triggered by polls showing an uptick in black support for President Trump. She said the polls, and I quote, have only been conducted in the homes of Ben Carson, Kanye, that sheriff guy with the hat, and those two cubic zirconia and polyester spandex ladies. What a terrible thing for a person to say. Maybe black voters have simply concluded that President Trump delivered on campaign promises to the black community. Why Miss Navarro has a beef with Diamond and Silk is beyond me. Maybe she's jealous of their great success. Or perhaps a more plausible explanation is that Miss Navarro is just another run-of-the-mill CNN Trump-hating racist. You can listen to my entire conversation with Diamond and Silk on my daily podcast. It's available at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio Network. Glad to have you with us. You can check out our website, afr.net. afr.net is the website. And when you get there, you can check out our podcast page, the Today's Issues podcast page. At the top of the website, you'll see a podcast link, and just scroll down a little bit, you'll see Today's Issues. You can catch at least about around a month's worth of past shows there on our website, afr.net. Walker Wildman, Fred Jackson, and Chris Woodward here bringing you the news of the day. One more thing I wanted to mention before we jump back into the news is we just wrapped up our Operation Christmas Child Shoebox campaign last week. But there's another thing that we're going to shift into next week, and that is something called The Greatest Journey. For those who aren't familiar, The Greatest Journey is a discipleship program that follows the shoebox. So Operation Christmas Child delivers the shoebox, the shoeboxes around the world that many of us have packed. And then after the shoebox is delivered, children are offered the opportunity to go through, I believe it's a 6 or 8 week discipleship program called The Greatest Journey. So not only are kids getting a Christmas gift, a shoebox, but they're also getting the chance to come to know Christ and to go through The Greatest Journey. So you can always go to SamaritansPurse.org, Samaritans with an S, Purse.org, to check out more about The Greatest Journey and Operation Christmas Child. Chris, what you got next?
Well, we spent much of the last half hour talking a lot about impeachment efforts by the Democrats. Fred also mentioned the USMCA. This is the new NAFTA agreement, if you will. It's something President Trump has been talking about through various channels with Canada and Mexico, trying to get a new trade deal to replace NAFTA, which he campaigned on back in 2016, saying we need a new deal. It's bad for Americans, things like that. Something people have noticed about the USMCA is that buried in it are various social engineering efforts to try to get things like the Equality Act included in there. These are sexual orientation and gender identity provisions for both Canada and Mexico. We would agree to do this while we traded with them. Things of that sort. Fred actually has the wording in here. What do you have for us, Fred?
Yeah, this USMCA is over 2,000 pages long, okay? You remember a document called Obamacare? It was over 2,000 yep. pages long. What Nancy Pelosi said, you're going to have to read it to find out what's in it.
Yeah.
Well, there's so much else going on in the country. Most people probably haven't had a chance to read this proposed trade agreement. But in chapter 23, here's what it says. I'm reading the exact words from that chapter. Each party shall implement policies that it considers appropriate to protect workers against employment discrimination on the basis of sex, including with regard to sexual harassment, pregnancy, sexual orientation, and gender identity. All right, so that's a direct quote out of chapter 23 of this. As Chris alluded to, the left for years and years and years has been trying to get through the Equality Act, which basically puts into law that protects homosexuals from being fired for their style, their lifestyle. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this, you know, some people may, what in the world is something like that doing in a trade agreement? Mm-hmm. Well, listen, the left never stops trying to find ways to get laws passed that takes freedom away. In this case, freedom away from employers.
Yeah.
So folks, you need to be aware of this.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to cover this more as the days go on, as the weeks go on, as we really dig into it. It's kind of complicated. It's very lengthy talking about the entire agreement. Mm-hmm. But we've been warned by others who are more experts on this that we need to look out for what's in this. Mm-hmm. Because if Canada and Mexico have agreed to it and the Democrats are willing to pass it, then we have reason to be concerned. So we'll keep an eye on this. And, you know, you would think that three countries could pass a trade agreement without including this politically charged language that will undermine religious freedom, but at the same time, we can't be naive to think that they're going to pass up an opportunity to enforce their agenda.
Yeah, I do have two statements from different organizations here. This issue is not breaking this morning for people that are just now tuning in and hearing this for the first time. We've been told this for a while, but it's still in the news. And the reason I think it's worth bringing up is because you hear a lot of Republicans, even on AFR, saying things like, we need Democrats to get off impeachment and pass things like the USMCA. And everybody's in favor of trade agreements that better American workers and things of that sort. But we have had organizations, including Liberty Council. Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, said, President Donald Trump must insist that social policy that overrides our sovereignty be removed from the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. A young lady named Tori Whiting, she's married now, I'm not sure what her current last name is, but Tori said several weeks back, trade agreements are not the way and not the place to determine social policy. Meanwhile, the U.S. Supreme Court has already heard arguments in a case called Harris Funeral Homes versus something. And in that case is an issue where a guy who worked as a funeral home director informed his boss that he wanted to go on vacation and come back dressed as a woman. And the owner of the funeral home said, I'm sorry, you can't do that. You can't be out here presenting yourself as a woman in front of grieving families, some of which may be families of faith. This would upset them, things of that sort. It has spilled over into the court system, and now the U.S. Supreme Court is going to issue an opinion on this.
Yeah.
And if the Supreme Court comes down in favor of the employee, we wouldn't even need Congress to pass something like the Equality Act or the trade agreement approved. You would have something like this ramrodded through, and you would just have to live with it.
Yeah, there's, you know, we need to win that case, and it'll be announced in 2020. But this even goes back to the importance of having the Trump administration in place, having the having constitutional judges on the bench, to where things like this can get ruled on correctly instead of unconstitutionally. But we'll keep an eye on the USMCA and see you know, it'll have to be after Christmas before it even gets brought up
sure.
Congress.
I just hope with folks listening to this today, while your members of Congress are home for Thanksgiving, that you may want to bring this up, folks.
Yeah.
Because this is the kind of thing, they sneak it through. Mm-hmm. There are some other aspects of this. For instance, I'll just be very brief on this. One of the things in Chapter 31 of this agreement requires a free trade commission to settle any disputes. According to this, that such panels will consist of 5 members chosen by consensus and required to have experience in international law and international trade.
No.
Now, that ought to set off alarm bells, folks, because going back decades now, there are people in this country who do not believe in the sovereignty of the United States.
Right.
All right? What they want to do is the United States to bow the knee to international law. And what that would mean is that there would be, for instance, the Vienna Convention on the Law of Treaties would come into play, which basically the United States would have to surrender its trade policies to international bodies.
Yeah.
That is very dangerous, folks.
It is.
Very dangerous. It's all about globalism. It's all about getting rid of national sovereignty. These are the kinds of things that are buried in this agreement that you've got to be aware of, folks. You've got to bring your members of Congress attention to it.
Yeah.
Because I believe there's probably many members of Congress who haven't read the 2,000 pages.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's go back to the issue of President Trump having a rally last night in the great state of Florida. One of the things that he mentioned here, I've lost my clip sheet, but I think it's – okay, I'll call for it, Brent. I've got it. All right, so the president, he informed the crowd that various liberals are wanting to change the name or maybe even do away with Thanksgiving. Clip 2.
As we gather together for Thanksgiving, you know, some people want to change the name Thanksgiving. They don't want to use the term Thanksgiving. And that was true also with Christmas, but now everybody's using Christmas again. Remember I said that? But now we're going to have to do a little work on Thanksgiving. People have different ideas why it shouldn't be called Thanksgiving, but everybody in this room I know loves the name Thanksgiving, and we're not changing it.
Now, in the knee-jerk reaction society in which we live, I noticed a number of people last night during the rally were tweeting and things like that, saying, the president's saying people are wanting to change and do away with Thanksgiving. Where is he getting this? He's making stuff up, fake news, all these things.
Yeah.
But yesterday there was an article from a young lady named Celine Ryan for Campus Reform, and she pointed out that a professor from George Washington University has a new book just in time for Thanksgiving explaining the dangers posed by the myth of the first Thanksgiving. The professor claims that white America's triumphs have been born on native peoples. This professor thinks Thanksgiving should be replaced with Day of Mourning. And, of course, this follows something we were talking about back in mid-October, where a number of people now, municipalities even, local governments are wanting to replace Columbus Day with Indigenous Peoples Day. So based on all that, it's not made up that people are wanting to change and do away with Thanksgiving. Nonetheless, people will take the president to task for it today.
Yeah, well, we all know that the political left in our country have been working for years to basically rewrite American history and clear our books of anything that ties to our Christian heritage, whether it be the Pilgrims' Thanksgiving Day feast or Christmas, which celebrates the birth of Christ, and so on and so forth. So, no, President Trump's not exaggerating when you talk about people wanting to erase our holidays.
Well, it's very interesting he brought that up, because in some of the left-wing media this morning are saying, hey, who's trying to get rid of Thanksgiving? Well, there's another account from the College Fix. Mm-hmm. They look at liberalism on our college campuses. And the headline here is universities teach students how to decolonize their Thanksgiving. As college students across the nation head home for Thanksgiving, they're armed with the knowledge of how to decolonize their holiday. There was no one way to impart this instruction, as educators took different approaches with events such as how you can eat your turkey and decolonize Thanksgiving too, and thanks but no thanks, Giving, decolonizing an American holiday. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of propaganda, folks, that's out there, prominent on university campuses across this country. So when the president talks about people trying to do away with saying Thanksgiving and being thankful, he's not exaggerating.
Yeah. And mindful, this is the time of year, too. He talked about Christmas. A number of organizations, including American Family Association, are out with their naughty or nice list, which rates, ranks, whatever the correct term might be, retailers on which ones do acknowledge and say things like Merry Christmas and others that don't. Walker, one of the things, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of the positives we've seen in the years that I've been here reporting on these lists is that you see a lot more companies nowadays saying and acknowledging Christmas versus 19 years ago when I first started here.
Yeah, we've AFA has led the effort in getting companies to recognize Christmas for what it is, and that's Christmas. It's a Christian holiday, also a federal holiday. And, yeah, there's more companies on the nice list at AFA.net than they're on the naughty list. So that's a good thing. I'll get the link, or Brent can look it up. It's AFA.net/Christmas, I believe, where you can find the naughty or nice list. We'll put that on our Facebook page. But, yeah, a lot of stores to shop at, a lot of stores that recognize Christmas and for a Christian holiday. One thing I wanted to bring up, which was not in our news, in our stack for today, but one thing I've noticed about Drudge, the Drudge Report, which has traditionally been a very conservative leaning news aggregate site, but Drudge seems to be shifting left and left and left, and they're very anti-Trump in their headlines. And the one I'm looking at now is it says Trump approval at 41.7%. And then I think to myself, wow, what's 41%? Well, guess what I do? I click on it. It's from the same website, 538.com, that said Hillary Clinton had a 99% chance of winning on election night.
Yeah.
And as the night went on, that 99% slowly trickled down to where President Trump ended up winning, and actually a landslide when you consider the circumstances. But I don't know what's going on here with Matt Drudge.
I'm puzzled by that too, because Drudge in the past, in its genesis, was the kind of place you could go to where it was, to use a phrase of another news agency, some fairness and balance in all of that. But I've noticed it too. For some reason, they've become very anti-Trump. And I just do not understand why they would go that route.
Yeah.
Something has happened. I know they have people across the country that select these stories and put them up there, but there's a bunch of these folks apparently in California or something. That's
yeah.
I think it might just, I could be wrong. Wouldn't be the first time, won't be the last. But it may be an effort to try to bring in people that haven't been coming to Drudge. You mentioned, you know, it's been leaning one way for a long time now, and now it appears to be going in a different direction.
Yeah.
We've even seen some people, at least on Fox News Channel, say and do things that are without a doubt liberal. And so I sometimes wonder if it's just kind of a management decision to try to be more inclusive.
Yeah.
But when your bread and butter, I mean, Drudge still looks like a website looked like in 1994 for people that don't remember what the internet looked like.
Yeah, it still does well.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So why do you have to cater to another crowd?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but it's deceiving is what it is, these headlines. And, for example, when you go to Rasmussen, which has a pretty good reputation of tracking the presidential approval rating, they're showing a 46%. Now, that's not great. Mm-hmm. I mean, 50 to 51 would be excellent for the president, but 41% and 46% are pretty different. Mm-hmm. And so it's just, I'm beginning to question, but the good thing is that there's alternatives. And one of the alternatives is called onenewsnow.com.
Amen. And, we take great pleasure, and it's a real blessing for us. You know, your granddad started onenewsnow.com, and I tell you what, now more than ever, I believe that site is needed as a place where you can go. You get the day's news, but also you get commentary and reaction from Christians to what is going on out there. We'll tell you what Nancy Pelosi is saying.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what Chuck Schumer is saying. But you're going to get reaction to it.
Yeah.
We're not just going to put it out there unchallenged. Mm-hmm. That is one of the big differences. And we have reporters like Chris here and Steve and Charlie Butts and Chad Groening and others across the country who contribute to us each day. I think we have one of the best sites in One News now, for instance, covering the pro-life issues in this country.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't even see that on other conservative sites, quite frankly. Mm, yeah. You don't see that on Fox News.
Yeah.
So there is a difference between us and Fox News.
Yeah.
There's don't think we're mirrors of each other at all. But here's the interesting thing, folks, and the exciting thing. We give it to you for free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can sign up. If you go to the right-hand side of onenewsnow.com, you can sign up for our daily email. We promise we will send you one email a day, just one. It'll have a summary of the day's news. It will have the print copy of our reporter stories for the day and doing our best to bring you up to date. And I encourage you folks to sign up. If you're a pastor listening today, you're a Sunday school teacher listening today, take some of these stories off and take them to your Sunday school class. Mm-hmm. Listen, folks, there's a lot going on in the Christian community. Steve Jordahl does a great job. When Steve came to and joined us, we set up a new beat that the intersection of politics and evangelical Christianity.
Yep.
And there is an intersection there. And so go there so that you get some of the major issues going on in our denominations across the country. This is great opening discussions for sermons, for Sunday school lessons. And we have it all there. It's ready and waiting for you. So go there, sign up, just put your email address in there. And already well over 100, 120,000 people across the country are getting this on a Monday to Friday basis. So don't waste any time. Sign up for it right now.
Yeah. Shout out to Jim Shimpert and the hardworking men and women of our IT department who keep the cogs running for us.
Yeah. Another neat feature we just added in recent weeks is the podcast option.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So if you listen to AFR often, which many of you do, then you hear at the bottom of each hour or the top, you'll hear a newscast, a 5-minute newscast, and it has the news of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've started making available a digital version of that on the website on onenewsnow.com. So you just click on the podcast link. You can listen to all the newscast going back at least 30 days. So check that out.
Yep.
Yeah, if you want to hear 30 days worth of global warming news, onenewsnow.com. All right, I wanted to bring this up because we have talked about for a long time now on this here program, Colin Kaepernick, and everybody knows the story there on his kneeling during the national anthem and protest and things of that sort. Developing news out of his recent workout in the Atlanta area in front of various professional franchises and their scouts, someone from that workout has landed a tryout with the Cleveland Browns, but it's not Colin Kaepernick. It's a guy named Jordan Vesey, who was one of Kaepernick's many wide receivers in that workout. The guy that is running the routes and Colin Kaepernick is throwing the ball to him, things like that. Kaepernick said after that workout, stop running from me. I'm here. I'm ready. I've been in shape. All these things. And it turns out somebody from that workout that he brought in to try to show off his skills has himself landed a spot or at least a tryout with the Cleveland Browns. I don't know much about Jordan Vesey other than his name and what he was doing in the workout, but it appears that teams are still not interested in Colin Kaepernick. But I think there's a reason why he waited this late in the season to have a workout, because teams, they're not going to take you. Now, he does have, as Steve uncovered and mentioned on the program, I believe, Kaepernick does plan to have another workout in the offseason at some point, but you should know at this late point in the season that teams are not going to sign you, which may show there's an ulterior motive there on are you really even interested, or are you just trying to still show that you're being blacklisted by the league that doesn't want you?
Listen, I don't know as much about football as you two gentlemen. I fully confess that my game is hockey. But when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, I would say he has worn out his welcome. Well, he scheduled a tryout somewhere. Wasn't Atlanta there a few weeks ago?
Yeah, the 2025
and then he moved,
teams.
And then he moved the venue.
Yeah.
I mean, is his ego that big that he thinks everybody, the reps from these teams, are going to follow him over to this and still, you know, be open to the idea of hiring this guy? I think he's a grandstander. That's all he is. And I think he would be a liability for any team.
Yeah, the NFL's been trying to cater to Kaepernick to try to please the political left, but it's made them look embarrassing because I've never heard of 25 NFL teams scheduling a workout day for one player. Usually you have a group workout day for free agents,
right.
And 100 guys come, the teams come, and they look at all 100, kind of like the combine.
Mm-hmm.
But here they schedule this workout day for Kaepernick over in Atlanta. 25 teams show up, and Kaepernick doesn't show up. Why? Because he couldn't bring his film crew. He couldn't bring his film crew to the workout, according to the NFL, so he just doesn't show up. He goes over to a high school football field with his politically motivated shirt and doesn't show up. That fellow is not worthy of playing for any NFL team.
Yeah, and I think one reason why GMs, and I've not talked to anybody, I have no inside source, I have no knowledge, it's just me speculating. But I think one reason why teams have been reluctant to sign him is because they know there's going to forever be reporters there that are going to ask questions like, well, what happened when you and the coach were not in sync? Why aren't you letting him have more say in the offense and things like that? They will forever be bombarded with all these issues based around one guy's decision, speech or not, to protest things. And I think a lot of coaches and GMs just don't want to put up with that when you're responsible for a team, not just one individual player.
Yeah, well, I mean, the goal of NFL teams is to make money and win games. And Kaepernick was not helping anyone do any of the above at San Francisco. So he was a distraction. And he was denigrating our country and our flag and our troops. So,
Do you think people across the country are just getting fed up with people complaining about this country?
Yeah, I think they are.
You know, are we reaching that point? I think certainly in the center part of the country, but I just don't know. I sense that, you know, this self-flagellation of this country. That is so generous to people who come here with nothing and have an opportunity to be a tremendous success in their lives. I kind of got that feeling this morning, going back to where we started at the top of the hour at this breakfast meeting this morning.
Yeah,
you have people here, in this country who come in legally and are able to start a business, are able to then start hiring people. They understand. They come here to this country because it gives you an opportunity. And yet you have folks in this country, millionaires, like football players, that decry how bad it is for people here. I think just a bunch of folks are saying, enough of the nonsense. I'm not going to listen to this junk anymore.
Yeah.
And if networks want to spend time interviewing these people, that's fine. But by the way, I have alternatives to watching ABC and NBC and anybody else.
Yeah.
I can take my business somewhere else. That's one of the great beauties of this country.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one other thing, too, and this is not from The Onion. It's not from the Babylon Bee or any satirical news site. This is from CNN, which say whatever you want to about that news outlet. But, you know, millions of people are flying today to grandmother's house or wherever it is for Thanksgiving dinner. It is actually been proven you can travel with a number of items to your Thanksgiving feast, but I'm not making it up. You have to check the gravy because liquids are still forbidden on planes.
Yeah, thank you to jihadi terrorists for not being able to take our gravy on the airplane.
Gotta have the gravy.
Yeah. Well, you can take, you can't take gravy, but you can take your pet horse.
That's right.
If you need to. Today's issues, American Family Radio, 1 hour down, half hour left. Stay tuned. You'll hear American Family News here for the next 5 minutes, and then we'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.